Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Did you hear Jesus' words a few times? Can we hear Jesus' words? Not only hear, but dwell in them. It sounds like quite a contradiction to most of us who've been raised to be responsible and take care of things. And then it's a complete contrast to what we hear each and every day when we listen to the messages of our society or the inner messages of our lives. We're always being told to worry. Worry about what detergent to buy, what car to drive, what school our child is going to go to. Worry about the scarcity of things, about whether there's going to be enough. Worry about our bodies and our health. Worry about our government. Worry if there's enough time to get everything done. Worry if we have the money to get what we want and need. And Jesus has the audacity to say, do not worry. Do not be anxious about what you will eat, your body, or what you will wear. And then, just as we're wondering what it is we will do with our lives and our energies if it's not about worry and taking care of ourselves, he draws our attention to something else. He says, consider the ravens who are fed by God. Consider the lilies who are clothed in beauty. And consider the kingdom of God in your midst. For the things that worry us will be given. Given. Another contradiction. He doesn't say earned or deserved or possessed. No. He says given. Pay attention to God's kingdom, and life will be given to you as well. Pay attention to the giver, the maker, the creator, and you will receive life. It will be given, not earned or deserved or possessed, but given. He reminds us that the abundance of life is free. It is of God. And God freely shares. We can't earn it. We can, however, receive it. Now, Jesus knows how hard this is for we humans. To live freely, receiving the abundance of God without worry, freely giving ourselves back to God for the sake of God's kingdom of love. Jesus knows that this seems like a far-out, impossible request, and so he gives us ways to practice this life of no worry. He invites us to consider ravens and lilies. He invites us to consider the ways of animals and all the creatures of the world, the ways they're part of an ecology where all things work together and each creature has a place in the scheme of things. And they do not appear to be anxious about who they are or what is their purpose. They rest in what is given, and they share this rest with us if we can receive it. One of my favorite poems is written by Wendell Berry, and I think it is a response to the gospel today. I'll read it to you now. When despair grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Essentially, at the core of all things, essentially in our relationship of grace of God, this is what is at the center. That we belong to a God who embraces us with love, and we are free. A few years ago, a friend of mine who is newly retired sent me a quotation from E.B. White. And he presents the dilemma of life. If the world were merely seductive, he says, that would be easy. If it were merely challenging, that would be no problem. But I arise in the morning, torn between a desire to improve or save the world, and a desire to enjoy or savor the world. And it makes it hard to plan the day. To save or to savor, to improve or enjoy, to work it or play in it, this seems to be that it is the call that we have as we reflect on God as creator and God's continuing creation through us and in the world. For we are humans in this world after all. And the work and the play, the improvement and the enjoyment, these come together. And they come together in a God who gives us life, no strings attached. God wants us to approach the task we have, the duty we have, with the delight we have in the rest and the grace that God shares with us. God wants us to give praise, to give thanks from the depths of our soul, because we are free to do it, to enjoy giving back, to repair out of love, to strive for a world where all things and all people belong. Jesus knew a God in the world with us, a God working with us, a God playing with us. In Genesis 1, the story of God's creation is the story of God creating all things in the world. And on the seventh day, God rests. And where is it that God rests? Is God on a hammock up there in the sky just resting away? No, God rests in the world that God has made, in and through this wondrous creation. So the world becomes a holy place, the residence of God. And because God is alive in the world, we creatures and humans are given rest, free from anxiety and fear and worry, free to give thanks and praise, to just be, to appreciate the gifts we receive. This is called Sabbath. God gives rest, and rest is holy, and we are allowed to rest in God. There are so many parts of Scripture that invite us to play as well as to work. Today, we're invited to celebrate the creatures of this world and the joy that they bring, how different they are, and how wonderful, how fragile, and how resilient. We're invited to see the fauna as a gift of a God who continues to create, continues to care, and is ever playful. Don't know if you noticed in the psalm that we read today, we speak of Leviathan in the sea, made for the sport of it. Leviathan was a sea monster imagined by the people, something they were afraid of, something in the water that they did not know. But the psalm that we read today gives praise to a God who makes creatures for reasons that we don't understand. A God who makes things for sport or enjoyment of it. A God who invites us to play. Consider the ravens. Consider the animals around us as a form of prayer. One day, my husband was fishing on the Colorado River, and I was sitting near the shore, and I was watching the birds in the water. In front of me, there was a small area of rapids where the rocks were together and the water flowed swiftly for a little bit. And I began to notice that the ducks who were around would come and kind of ride the rapids down the river. I soon realized that they were going downstream to the end of the rapids and then flying back to the front to ride them again. They were playing just for the sport of it. And that was a delight to me and part of prayer. You know, prayer and worship is essentially play. We tend to make work out of it. We worry over it, trying to get everything right and do our duty. But Sabbath is given as rest. And rest is essentially playful, free. Nothing is made of worship, really. No work is done when a community gathers to give praise. It's about resting in relationship, being part of the freedom of God's grace when we give thanks for the life we share. Therefore, I tell you, says Jesus, do not worry about your life. The ravens, the birds, the animals have lots to show us about a way to live freely and to rest in trust. Strive for God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. What grace. We're taking some time, play time, to have open space. You're welcome to go into the narthex and write confession. There's a book of thanks to write your prayers of thanksgiving to share with the community. There's a prayer station where you can light a candle for someone or put a prayer in the prayer wall. And there's a prayer basket for prayers of concern for others, as well as yourself. Or you're welcome to remain in your seats for contemplative prayer. Enter and enjoy.